Okay. Let's look at the examples we had before and see, kind of get ourselves a little bit ahead, you know. What we had last time for the maximization problem, 50x plus 40y, that's the objective function. We need to maximize the objective function over here, and given four different constraints over here. The first one refers to production time, the second one raw materials, and third one, the fourth one, the customer demand. Okay? Now, we look at the joints or extreme points within the feasible region. We evaluate the objective value at each point. A summary over here provided, you know, I just kind of reproduce those over here for reference. You can see, capital point B, we got objective function value 60, and at point E, we got, objective function value 80, and at point H, we get objective function value 100, and point A over here, we get objective function value 120, and then, point D at the bottom over here, we get the objective function value 150, and eventually we see the capital A at this point, we get the objective value of 171.37. Any of you have any question about this? You okay with that? That's what we did last time, okay? And again, I do recommend you go back to today's lecture if you have any problem. And Tuesday's lecture and today's lecture probably among the most important part, for the second half of the semester. So if you have any trouble, Tuesday's lecture, today's lecture, that's where you're going to go, go back to look at, okay? And what we try to do here is this. Look at the original objective function, 50x plus 40y. Now, what's the meaning of 50 and 40? The 50 refers to the marginal profit. So marginal profit is given by the unit revenue, the sales price, minus the cost of that to produce that unit. That's called a marginal profit. Okay? Think about it. The sales price is going to change. The unit cost is going to change. So that 50, for the coefficient of x in the objective function, going to change. It's not going to be 50. This 40 as the objective coefficient for y is going to change. So the problem is, what are the impacts of this change over the solution, over the objective function value? And also, if you look at the constraints we had, the four equations we provided, and the coefficients of those equations, and also the right-hand side value of it can change. And again, how do we evaluate the impacts of any change? So this part, we're going to discuss the impact of those changes. We give a name, it's called a sensitivity analysis. And you probably recall when we discussed the decision analysis, we did a sensitivity analysis. It's pretty much like that. See, if those values, if price change, if the cost change, what's the impact to the business situation over here? Okay? Now, let's look at first, we know the optimal solution is at point A, that's over here. Okay, you got x equals 12/7, y as 15/7. We have 50x plus 40y equals 171.37 as the value of the optimal solution at the optimal solution for the objective function. Now, if this coefficient of x in the objective function changes, what's the impact on the solution? Whether or not capital A, this point, still going to be the optimal? And if it is, whether or not 171, 3/7 going to be the objective value? So those are the questions we're going to answer. So we identify the objective solution first, and then evaluate the objective value, objective function value. Okay? Let's look at this. When the objective coefficient of x equals 35, what happened? One objective function coefficient of x equals 35. Okay? If you look at this, initially it's 50. Now it's become 35 over here. It's become 35. Okay? So it's 35. What's the impact of it? I want to draw your attention to this graph. To this graph, okay? If you look at this graph, when we have objective function value, when we have 50 as the coefficient, okay, assume the right hand side, assume the right hand side is 100, okay, assume it's 100. When we let y equals 0, when we let y equals 0, x 100 divided by 50 equals 2, is that correct? So remember this point for me, okay, x equals 2. When we hold y, x equals 0, y equals 2.5, because my right hand side for the objective is 100, so divide by 40, I got 2.5, okay? I got 2.5. So that's the 2 points I have, okay? So I draw a line. Because it is a maximization problem, my line going to move upward, away from the origin, so that's essentially this line. Okay, so going to overlap with this objective line over here, and at point A, we got the optimal solution. That's what we did to draw the optimal solution line, you know, the objective function line. Now, suppose this is not 50 anymore, the objective function coefficient is not 50, okay, it's 35. If it is 35, what happened? When we said y equals 0, x equals 100 divided by 35. Is that correct? That's the way you did it. Am I right? You have to follow me. 100 divided by 33 give you 3. So 100 divided by 35 is a little bit, you know, more. So we got a little bit less than 3. So it's 2.85 something. Okay. So on the x-axis we got 2.8 something. We got a 2.8. 100 divided by 35. We got a 2.8. Yes. So, we got a, initially it's 2. Right now it's 2.8 over here. Is that correct? It's less than 3. Okay. Mark this point for me. And then y, when I have x equals 0, y going to be 2.5. So my y still be 2.5, okay? That's my y. That's 2, that's 2.5. I link this. Watch out, okay? Watch out. I'm going to have a line like this. Okay? It's a little bit flatter than the original. Okay? And I'm going to move parallel upward away from origin. Okay? You see? Now, you know, my line gonna touch point A, I can move no more. It's optimal. You see that, everybody? Okay, now, if that's the case, the optimal solution, the optimal solution won't change. When I have x coefficient equals 35, what's the objective function value? Compute objective function value for me. Get your calculator quickly and then see what's the objective function value. What's that? So you use, you know, you use 35 times 12 sevenths plus 40 times 15 sevenths. What do you get, Dylan? 145. Okay, anybody else? I want at least one more person, you know. It's, you got it? Okay, very good. Okay, Matt. Okay, now. So, the optimal solution in that situation still be this point, okay? But the objective function value is different. Okay, now. How about when the objective coefficient of x equals 20? Okay? Let's look at the impact first. When I have the objective function line assume is 100, so the y coefficient didn't change. So when we said x equals 0, y equals 2.5. So still we have a 2.5. Now, when I say y equals 0, because my x coefficient now is 20, so 100 divided by 20, I got a 5. Is that correct? So 5 going to be over here. Is that correct? So 5 going to be here. Everybody, you watch me. So 5 going to be here. 2.5 going to be here. That's 2.5. Okay? So watch carefully. Do you believe this line is parallel to line number 1? You see what I'm saying? You see? This line is exactly parallel to line number 1. So if you compute the slope, use the equation we did, you're going to see those slope of the two lines are going to be identical. Okay. Because it's a optimization to maximize the profit, we move this new objective line outward away from origin until we can't move anymore, because over here that's a feasible region. We move up until we touch this line, overlap with line number 1. We can move no more. Okay? That's it. That's 20. Objective line is 20, and we move to the highest possible place we can move. What happened? The optimal solution, capital A, still be part of the optimal solution. No change. However, this whole line segment from point small a to point capital A, the whole line segment, every single point on this line segment going to be the optimal solution. So that's what we call the alternative optimal solution. Can you see that now? Because every single point is going to be optimal solution. Okay? Compute the objective function value for me now. First, compute the objective function value at point capital A. Okay? So we got, you know, x coefficient equals 20. 20 times 12 sevenths plus 40 times 15 sevenths. What do we get? What do you get, Daniel?
20.
X coefficient equals 20 times 12 sevenths plus 40 times 15 sevenths. You should get something like, you know, 200 something. Is that 200, Dylan, you get? What do you get? What's that? Wait a second. You got a 120. Is that correct? 120 is correct, okay? 120 is correct, okay? Now, the reason I say 120 is, look at here. At this point is 120. But if you look at this point, because the objective function line overlapping with this line segment 1, so at this point, x equals 0, y equals 3. 3 times 40 give you 120. Okay? So that reiterates a very important principle for the objective function line. Okay? It doesn't matter where along the objective function line, okay? It doesn't matter where it's going to be. It doesn't matter the combination of x and y. Each combination is called a solution. Each combination is called a solution, okay? It doesn't matter where it's going to be, but as far as the value of the objective function, if it is on the identical line, the objective value is going to be the same. That's clear to you, everybody. You can see at capital A, you got 200. At point A over here, you have 200 as well. If you're curious enough, you grab a few points in the middle, you're going to get 200 as well. Okay? Now, let's look at 5. What happens if S coefficient now, you know, the margin for the X is dropped so much, it's only 5. What's happened? Okay? Let's look at when we said X equals 0, the right-hand side of the objective function is 100, so we got Y equals 2.5 as what we did before. It's over this point. Okay? Now, when we said Y equals 0, 100 divided by 5 give us 20. Is that correct? So 20 as X. So I got a 7 over here. So 20 I can move, okay? So 20 going to be probably behind that wall there. You see what I'm saying? Very, very far, okay? So I'm going to have a line like this. Okay? From very far, very far, and then link to 2.5. Is that correct? Okay, now, that's my line, okay? This line going to move, eventually going to touch point A. But do I have any feasible region still available for me? Yes, I might. See this portion. That's a feasible region, so I can still move up until I touch cut point small A. Am I right? Everybody, you see that? This is a very important conclusion, okay? It's a very important implication. Because S right now is so small, and then the objective line turns so much that it's got into the feasible region, so the original solution A is no more solution anymore. So that's why the solution changed, the objective function value is going to change as well. Okay? So just to watch that out, okay? Now let's look at what happens if objective coefficient X increase instead of decrease. See what I'm doing here. I use 50, decrease, decrease, decrease. Now we increase, increase, increase. Okay? Look at what happened. When the coefficient for X in objective function increase from 50 to 60, okay? We have right-hand side equals 100. Y still be 2.5 by 100 divided by 40, okay? Now, but S is going to be different. 100 divided by 60 going to give you about 1.6 or 1.7. Is that correct? So 1.7 should be pretty close. So 1.7, that's going to be somewhere over here, okay? So I'm going to link these 2 points, okay? These 2 points. I'm going to link these 2 points. And then move upward. Move upward. You can see I'm still at point A as optimal. Okay? Still optimal. Because it's, you know, I'm within this, I'm somewhere over here. Still optimal. At that point, you can easily compute the objective function value. You use 12 sevenths multiplied by 60 plus 15 sevenths multiplied by 40. That's the objective function value. Okay? Look at what happened to the situation. We have S coefficient becomes 66 2/3. Okay? And again, use 100 divided by 66 2/3 give us 1.2, 1.3 something. Okay? So it's pretty small. It's over here now. Okay? It's over here. Y still be 2.5. Okay? So we got a line like this. Now we move upward and outward. We got this point. Okay? That's what we got, okay? We still have this portion of the feasible region, the bottom of the feasible region available. We can still move until we touch this point D. You see that? So in that situation, if the margin improves so much, for the product X, we may be able to get a different solution. This one is optimal. We will not sell Y at all. You do not produce Y at all. Produce all the X we can produce. Because we get more money, because the margin of X increased so much. It makes sense to you? That's so-called, you know, the sensitivity analysis by graph. So you look at, you know, what we got here. What I want to do over here is to summarize what we just did, okay? That's what we have come up with. So you can see pretty much provide discussions for each point as what we did, okay? You know, when x equals 35, the objective line going to counterclockwise turn becomes a little bit flatter, okay? Flatter a little bit, okay? And the objective function value going to change. When equals 20, the objective line going to overlap line number 1, so we have a alternative optimal solution from line segment point A to capital A. Okay? And again, the objective function value is going to be different. You have to recompute. But when the x coefficient, when the margin for product x drops so much, now it's only five, you can see, you know, the objective line turn flatter, you know, very flat, you know, such that it's going to cut into the feasible region on top of the curve. Okay, the physical meaning of that is when the x margin becomes so small, it's not attractive at all. So we start to think about produce all ways. That's what happened. Does that make sense to you? That's exactly what happened. See, at this point, you know, we're going to move away from X. Do not produce any X at all. You make all the Ys you can make, no X. So that's why the optimal solution going to be in point small a. Okay? About this. We have to recompute the optimal solution. We have to reevaluate the objective value at that point. When the S coefficient increase, when the marginal profit for product X increase from 50 to 60, okay, in that situation, the objective function line going to turn clockwise. So going to turn clockwise, okay, but still within these two lines, the dotted line, that's the optimal objective line, and this is the boundary set by line number 2. So it's within this. As far as it is within this, the optimal solution point is still capital A. But the value of the objective function changed. So you have to reevaluate the value by using 60 multiplied by 12 sevenths plus 40 times 15 sevenths to get the new objective function value. Okay? And then when the S coefficient of objective function increase to 66 2/3, that's where the objective line going to overlap line segment capital A to D on line number 2. Okay, so this portion of the feasible region becomes alternative optimal solution. So at that point, capital A still be part of the solution. Okay, so we can easily reevaluate the objective function value by using actually S equals 3 multiplied by 66 2/3 to give you the new objective function value. It's about 200, you know, so that's at this point. Any question, you okay with that, with that discussion? And then again, when the S coefficient increased to 75, what does that mean? That means the product X is so profitable. The profit margin right now increased 50% to 75. In that situation, product Y, the margin for product Y becomes not as attractive as before. So we may go ahead and drop product X, just concentrate on making all product Ys. Drop product Y, making all product X. So that's what happened. You know, we got, for example, at this point, you know, 75 times 3x, you know, give you 225. You agree with the logic we developed over here, everybody? You okay? Mark, you're fine. Okay, Kate. Okay. Now, let's look at the conclusion over here. The objective coefficient of x can vary within a range. Which range? That's from this point D to point B. Okay? So as far as, you know, you use the right hand, when the objective function line is at optimal, and the x-axis, the joints with x-axis of the objective line within point D and point B, the optimal solution of A won't change. So this point still be optimal solution. Okay? But if the objective coefficient of x change so much, it's beyond these 2 points, okay? Beyond these 2 points. You know, you're going to be outside or inside, and the optimal solution going to change, as well as the value for the objective function, okay? This part is very important, okay? And I think, you know, people are going to need to go back to this chart and look at it. This chart again, if you have trouble with so-called sensitivity analysis. Here are the difficulties. When we have a problem with 50 variables, 100 constraints, the only thing you can have is this table. It's called a sensitivity analysis table report from Excel. It's 3 reports. This one is one of them. You're going to get, if you have 50 variables, you're going to have 50 lines over here. You got 150 constraints. You're going to get 150 lines in this part. Okay? By that time, you do not have any understanding of sensitivity analysis. You're going to be freezed. You know nothing. You know what I mean? What I try to show you is the connection between this table and the graph. Look at here. The coefficient for x is 50. That's given. The initial problem. Okay? Solution is 157. What is 157? 157 is identical to 12/7. Okay? So this is a simplified form. Okay? And 217 is 15/7. That's our point A, capital A. That's our optimal solution. Okay? Now, what it says, allowable increase and allowable decrease. So the coefficient of x in the objective function can increase up to 16 2/3. That means this 50 can be as large as 66 2/3. Okay? That's the reason I actually give you this. 66 2/3. Okay, remember I asked you to compute one of these? That's actually on the boundary, okay? If it is on the boundary, you're going to see the optimal alternative solutions along a line segment, okay? Because overlapping with one of the line. Now, allowable decrease. So the 50 as a coefficient of x in the objective function can be as small as 50 minus 30. It can be as small as 20. Okay? So in that situation, if you look at what we did, can be as small as 20. See? Okay? You decrease a little bit, fine. 35, okay. But it can be less than 20. Because, you know, that's the as low as we can go, you know. So what that mean? That means if we have a decrease of this, you know, this line going to turn counterclockwise, okay? So this, the objective line going to overlap with line segment 1. So the line segment small a to capital A becomes the alternative optimal solutions. That's the final point, the as low as the margin of product A can go. You got that point, everybody? So as you can see, you know, the connections between the graph and this table. And over here, the discussions. interpret what we just said, you know, so coefficient for x in the objective function can be as large as 50 plus, you know, 16 two-thirds, and as small as 50 minus 30 equals 20. So that's where the margin can go. If the margin of the product AX, you know, drop outside, increase over, or decrease smaller, and we have to do something else. That's the conclusion. You okay, guys, everybody? Okay. Now, look at for product Y. Based on our understanding, the product Y, the coefficient in the objective function, going to change in the same fashion, but has to be within 40 plus 60 equals 100. 40 minus 10 equals 30. As far as the coefficient of y change in between 30 and 100, the optimal solution of 12 sevenths and 15 sevenths won't change, am I right? But the value of the objective function may change. But again, as far as we consume from the optimal solution perspective, it is still optimal solution, and the only thing we need is to recompute the optimal objective function value by using the different coefficient of y, as we did for x. But if the coefficient of y change outside this is from 30 to 100, the whole problem is going to be different. Okay? So that's the concept we need to grab. Okay? Now, so those are the discussions of what we just said about alternative optimal solution when the objective line coincide with either line constraint 1 and constraint 2. Okay? And there's a term I want to, you know, you to pay attention. It's called reduced cost. What is reduced cost? Look at for product X first. Product X has the objective coefficient as 50. We say it is a contribution margin. So 50 as contribution margin minus the shadow price 717 multiply by number of resources in this time is minute. It's one unit of the first constraint minus shadow price of the second constraint, which is the number of units of raw material, is 8 4/7, okay? Multiplied by 5, which is the second constraint for product X. So essentially, the reduced cost refers to the difference between the objective function coefficient for that product. In this case, the marginal profit for product X, 50, okay? Minus the resources consumed, evaluated, or priced as the shadow price. We spent 1 unit X of time, 2 units of raw materials to make this product X, okay, to meet those two demands or conditions. So that's why, you know, you evaluate it based on the shadow price of each constraint. That gives you so-called reduced cost. And later on, you're going to see some of the situations, reduced cost won't be zero. So in this case, a special case, and we will discuss those more complicated case or general case later. You okay, guys, everybody? And we're going to go back here, you know, more often. Go ahead. Those are the original constraints we had. Okay? Look at here. 50, that's the objective function coefficient for X. 50X plus 40Y minus 1x, you how much it costs? 717. So 1 times 1 7, 1 7. And then for the second equation, you got 5x. So 5 times 8 4 7. So that's where you got equals 0. Okay? And there are situations it won't be zero. We're going to see that in the future. Okay? Probably next week. Go ahead, Dylan. See, those are part of the Excel output. So in many cases, they are given because it's part of the output. So for you and me, we try to understand what's the meaning of it. Okay? So when we get into the next piece, we're going to see more of the use of Shadow Price. So let's just finish this part. Any question about this? You okay, everybody? Okay. And again, you know, this part is very important. I strongly recommend you and go back to this person if you have any trouble in the future. Okay? The lectures, last lecture and this lecture probably worth 70% of, you know, for the rest of the semester. You know, if you look at the second semester, you know, second part of the semester, we look at linear programming, sensitivity analysis and modeling, and so far we covered 70%. Simple stuff worth 70%, okay? So the stuff we're going to cover, you know, from probably Thursday next week and on, probably worth 30%, I will say. There are real applications, but just from the contents of knowledge, you pretty much get all so far already. Okay, so you won't see anything more complicated than this. Remember, I compare with what we're doing now is a kind of as a surgeon, you know. Cut a rabbit, you know, open a bird, you know, so practice before with open hearts. Today, you know, what we're doing is open hearts for a rabbit, you know, for a bird, you know, so prepare. So if you cannot handle those, obviously you're going to have trouble later on. So that's why I refer anybody, you know, shaking when somebody's heart open, you know, it couldn't do nothing as a surgeon, you do not kind of practice your skills, you know, with the heart of that guy, but you need to go back to the laboratory, you know, practice on the rabbits, you know. Okay, now, this piece is cover about the changes of coefficient for y in objective function value. The result is going to be identical as what we said. So, for example, y right now is 40. If we decrease y to 35, to 30, to 20, what's going to happen? And think about s coefficient of 50 going to be constant. When you decrease y, this line going to move, the objective line going to turn clockwise. Okay, you look at this portion, going to do this. Okay, as far as it's been between those two points, you're okay. The optimal solution won't change, you just need to recompute the objective value. Now, when this is 40, when this 40 increase, when the margin of y increase so much, such that the objective line overlap with constraint line 2. You got this portion as optimal solution. Okay? Still okay. Capital A point is still optimal solution. So you just recompute the optimal objective value. We're done. But if this 40, okay, I say decrease, okay? Let's look at a decrease. If this decrease, when this one is decreasing, you know, it's turned like this, okay? When you decrease so much, when the margin for product Y decrease so much, right now it's only 50% of original margin, the whole thing changed. Why? Because look at here. The line going to be very steep like this, okay? At point A, you're going to cut into the feasible region, so this portion is going to be feasible region. So because we have a maximization problem, so we can still move outward. So this point D, small d on the x-axis, is going to be the optimal solution. You see that, everybody? That's why when the margin of y decreases so much, it's not attractive anymore, so we produce all the x we can without making any y, without sale any y. Okay? So the optimal solution is going to be at this point. Okay? And again, if we increase the margin for y, the situation is going to be different. Because when we increase the coefficient for y in the objective function, this objective line is going to turn counterclockwise. Okay? So the larger the y coefficient in the objective function, the flatter the line going to be. Okay? So eventually, you know, as far as the range, you know, it's going to be in this range, but you know, still bounded by line number one. Eventually, when the y coefficient increases so much, it's going to overlap with this line number one. So the line segment small a to capital A is going to be the alternative solution portion. And again, you know, the capital point, capital A point, point capital A still be part of the optimal solution. We just need to reevaluate the objective value there. When the margin of y increase so much, the argument come back again, the product S becomes unattractive, so we're going to produce all y's. That's common sense. But from our, you know, analysis perspective, you can see when the y margin increase so much, you know, the objective line going to be like this, flatter, okay? Flatter like this. Watch out. If I have 140, okay, my x is 50, it doesn't change. But my y equals, right now it's 140. So if I have on the right hand side is 100, for example, 100 divided by 50 give me 2. So my x equals 2. But my y, because it's 140, you know, it's 140, okay? So 100 divided by 140 give you 0.7 something, am I right? 100 on the right-hand side, and this 140 as the y coefficient. So 100 divided by 140 when I said x equals 0, so I got about somewhere over here, okay? So over here, linked to 2, I got a line like this, okay? If I move this line horizontally, okay? So you're going to see it's going to cut over here, so you can see just going to be like this, okay? So I can still move, eventually this one going to be the optimal solution, okay? So just watch out, you know, what you're doing, and you're going to see that match up exactly the function we did for coefficient of x change, okay? It's just for y, so... And those are the discussions we just went through. So I kind of try to provide a complexity so you guys can actually review this part, okay? Any of you have any question? And it's pretty much the same as what we did for the coefficient of change in x. So we kind of map them up for y. Again, as far as the objective coefficient for y, you know, as far as the slope of the objective line, you can see it's turned around this capital point A, and you look at this portion, and you know, you can increase the line going to turn clockwise if the coefficient decrease. Because coefficient decrease, you're going to have larger values on the y-axis, okay? If the margin of y increase, the objective line going to turn counterclockwise, okay? Because the larger coefficient of y give you smaller y-intercept. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you're going to turn this way, but it has to be within this bound, okay? And again, look at here. The y coefficient initially is 40. The margin of part of y is 40. Can be as small as 30. Decrease 10, fine. But can increase as much as 60. So as large as 100. So between 30 and 100, we okay, So that's where we observe this. That's where we observe this. I purposely put a 20, 30 over there. I put a purposely put 100 there. Those are the boundaries. Okay? So under at those two boundaries, you have an optimal solution. So that's where, you know, either this portion is an alternative optimal or this portion. Okay? So if Y coefficient, you know, decrease so much in the 30 case, it's going to be this portion. When the margin increase so much to 100, it's going to be this portion. Okay? So make the other, you know, product S unattractive if the margin improve for product Y. The same thing for otherwise. It's okay, everybody? Okay. And again, as I said, you know, sensitivity analysis tends to be a very difficult part of linear programming optimization. So you go back to these two graphs, match them up, and see how that turns around that optimal solution A, okay? This chart I didn't update. It's a chart I drew before, you know, long ago. So you may want to kind of relabel those, you know, as what we did is capital A, whatever. So just make them more consistent, okay? Now we want to kind of turn our attention to the changes of right-hand side. What kind of thing is going to happen if we change the right-hand side value? Okay, so let's understand the meaning of change of the constraint right-hand side value. What's that mean? Okay, look at the first two equations. The first two equations refers to the available resources to make product X and Y. You know, the first constraint refers to number of production time in minutes we have. And the constraint number two refers to the number of units of raw materials we have to make product X and Y. Okay? If we have, instead of 6 minutes, in the first equation, we have 7 minutes. Increase 1 minute. What's the impact on the objective function? That's the question. Any of you have any thought? You know, so what we're going to do is, I prefer, you know, later on, if I have a software, I can show you, you know, when I change the right-hand side from 6 to 7, and I have a different graph right away, you know, so it can show you the optimal solution. So what I want to show you right now is to look into the process, to review the process, we draw the first line, line number 1. How did we draw line number 1? Recall that, okay? So what we did, 1x plus 2y less than equal 6. We say, okay, now if x equals 0, my y equals 3. Is that correct? My y equals 3. That's my point A. If my y equals 0, how much my x? 6, am I right? Going to be this point. If I connect these points, I got my line number 1. Is that correct? Okay. If I have 7 instead of 6 there, so this point is going to be what? If I have x equals 0, my y going to be 3.5, going to be here, am I right? If I have y equals 0, x is going to be 7, so x is going to be here, is that correct? These two points, connect a line, going to be parallel to the original line number 1. So the new line number 1, it's going to parallel to the original line number 1, but move away from the origin because of the increase in the right-hand side. If we have a decrease in the right-hand side, you're going to believe the new line 1 is going to be parallel to the original line number 1, but moving towards to the origin. Is that correct? Mark, you know, Matt, you know, you see what I'm saying? Corey? So it's going to move towards to the origin, is that correct? So the moving of the constraint line number 1, either away or towards to the origin, going to increase or decrease the size of the feasible region. Is that correct? Keep in mind, our optimal solution can be only obtained within the feasible region. So the increase, the enlarge or shrink of the feasible region going to have impact on the objective solution and on the objective function value. Okay, so that's the part we're going to get out of this. Okay, so as you can see, but I want to see the exactly the impact of change to 7, okay, and 10 to 12, and see what happened. Okay, so I'm going to kind of branch away from this, and I do not know how well that will work for my recording. So I have to continue recording. Let me.